Philippians chapter 2, pick it up at verse 19 with me if you would, and we'll read all the way through the end of the chapter, verse 30. The apostle writing to us says these words, But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord, that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, that he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me.
Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word with Pastor Brian Griffin. Walk in the Spirit is an outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we will all learn to walk in the Spirit.
I believe many of you I've shared this with before, and I will apologize if you've heard this before, but maybe you've forgotten or, in the very least, not heard really my heart behind it until now. After I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I recall that I continually prayed for a healing for the way I walked, you know, my cool electric slide. Anyway, I began praying because shortly after I got saved, I had read about all the healings and the miracles the Lord had done. So I thought, why, Lord, can you not do that for me? So I began that day, that moment, after I had read those words, I began to pray for a healing that I would no longer walk the way I do. That was up until the time that I found out my wife was pregnant. And in particular, when I found out she was pregnant with our son, Jaden, not the child we had lost. It was at that point the Lord finally showed me my heart. And I no longer prayed that I would be healed. Rather, I began to pray that my son would receive my healing. See, the thing about it is the disorder that I suffer with, and I have heard so many different terms, I'd love to be able to tell you what it really means. I do know this much. I just recently learned, of all places, at my son's doctor's appointment, that I have something that we get the word spaz from. I felt very comfortable when a doctor said, oh, you're just a spaz. Thank you. But nonetheless, I began to pray for him to receive my healing, and so confident was I in the fact that my son would receive my healing and not get this genetic disorder passed on to him, that I told people, even prior to his birth, that he was not going to walk like me. I prayed that, in all honesty, because even though this child had not been born yet, I believe it was for the first time in my life, perhaps aside from my wife, that I truly loved someone more than me. More than I loved myself. That's what made me pray that way. If you would, I was willing to be afflicted for the remaining part of my life if it meant my son would not have to be. Well, God answered my prayer, obviously. Many of you have seen my son, and he doesn't walk like me. And I praise God for that. But what really drove me to that place was when I no longer sought this for myself. What made me get to that place? Truth be known, if I had to put it into simple terms, it would be these words. I had a natural affection for my son. Nobody had to tell me to love my child. I never had to learn to love my child. Now, I will say I learned to appreciate my child. There are things about my child that at first drove me nuts, and now I appreciate those qualities in him, those characteristics in him. some of the things that some people would consider dumb or silly or whatever the case may be, whatever rude terms people want to come up with about my child. The truth of the matter is this. I would rather have a child who loves the Lord the way my son does and desires to seek his face and to follow him than to have a child who is the biggest sports star in America. I don't need that. I don't want that. It was this. I so loved him, naturally loved him, had a natural affection for him, that though he was not even able to love me yet and may never love me in the same way that I love him even today, that made no matter to my heart. I was going to love him that way anyway. This is the heart of a Savior. This is the heart of our Savior, if I can put it to you that way. And I want to explore this morning because this morning we're going to look at men who are called to, and I believe in all of us really are to, called to love as our Savior did, to have, if you would, a natural affection that goes beyond ourselves. Let's just begin by reading verses 19 through 21 in our text together. The apostle writing says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." To open this morning, I just want to simply turn to a different passage, if you would, with me. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. What we're going to be talking about a lot this morning is really kind of difficult for me to want to share, because I'm going to be sharing with you the idea of what a pastor's heart looks like. Now, in doing so, I also want you to understand that you should be examining your own heart in the same light. Not that everyone in here is called to be a pastor, nor is everyone in here going to be a pastor, but the truth of the matter is that we should have that same heart, that heart that our Savior has. So just begin with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the passages that we get the most qualifications, if you would, for a pastor. Here's what we read. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and in the snare of the devil." You see, in the qualifications here for a bishop, an elder, or a pastor, if you would, is the idea. You may be asking yourself, why are we looking at this to begin this morning? Well, it's simply because it's going to tie right into what we're going to look at this morning. And here's the truth of it. As we began looking at this morning, there are several things that I want you to notice in the qualifications there, but in particular, I want you to notice two things in particular this morning that I've noticed in this passage that oft are ignored, or if you would, missing in a man who has been called to be a pastor. Now, what I mean by that is this, is there are many men who will have a lot of those qualities, but they'll be missing some essential ones. And there's two in particular in there that I think are highly essential for any man of God, anyone who is going to teach the word of God, to lead the sheep, if I can put it to you that way. So the first one I want to look at, and we'll take a look at here in a moment. But many of you know that shortly after I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, my experiences through the church, if I can put it this way, when the Lord brought me back to Pocatello, Idaho, the fellowship that I got involved in here, there was a man of God there, and he was a great man. And I want to say right now, I have no issues. Well, I shouldn't say no, but I have no problem with what the Lord did with me in taking me to that fellowship, because the truth of the matter is I did a lot of growing under that man. That man was a man of God who loved the word of God and taught faithfully the word of God. And he did a good job at expositing through the word of God and sharing the doctrines of the Lord and teaching us verse by verse through the word of God, which is why I characterize and pattern my own life after that same idea. And I learned a lot and I grew a lot during that time, but I was a part of the ministry team. And as such, here's one thing I noticed that was missing in that man. If you would, it's that idea there that we find in the passage we just read in Timothy. Look at verse 5, if you would. "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Now, what was missing, though he was an apt teacher, and probably one of the most apt teachers that I have met in years, though he was an apt teacher, he was able to teach, he could teach the Word of God, he could exposit the Word of God, he wasn't caring for the flock. Matter of fact, years later, most of the people had come to find out the same thing that a lot of us already knew. Because he wasn't able to care for the flock, he wasn't even caring for his own home. Now, I don't say that in judgment or chastisement, but the truth of the matter is that as a pastor, you have to be able to care for the sheep. And by the way, I want you to understand something. Some would say, well, he did. I mean, he grew a large ministry and did a good job that way and so on and so forth, and so he must have loved the sheep. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a part of it. I know the sheep that were loved. It was the ones that didn't cause a problem. But if you were a problem sheep, so to speak, you were asked to leave, if not encouraged to leave. Because the truth of the matter was that we didn't want to take care of the problem sheep, did we? All we wanted to do was just, as a matter of fact, we used to have bumper stickers that said, feed the sheep. That's all it said. Well, there's two parts to that, okay? And that idea of feeding, we'll go through that in just a minute here. So that was the first ministry that I went into. But the truth of the matter is, men of God, men who are called to be men of God, should want to care about or to think about the sheep. Not just think about the teaching. And there's a lot of men nowadays who, when they get all puffed up in their minds about what they can teach, they get all haughty about what they know and what they've learned, and they're learned men, and they can speak eloquently, and they understand, and they know more scripture than anybody else, but they have no care whatsoever for the sheep. And that is a problem. That is a problem. Matter of fact, I would go on to say, and I'd venture to guess these words right here tell us that they're not qualified as a pastor. Now, just as dangerous, though, is this opposite side of that. What do I mean by that? After that, the Lord took us to another fellowship where something just as sad in the pastor I found. I served under a man who, honestly, I can say, loved the sheep. I mean, he had such a heart for the people. He cared so much for the people in the flock that he was willing to basically compromise truth, not teach. He was willing to do whatever was going to make them happy, if I can put it that way. Why? Because he loved them. He didn't want any of them offended. He didn't want any of them going away, feeling hurt, or whatever the case may be. And honestly, that was just as dangerous as an idea. Why? Because now he was ignoring the Word of God. He wasn't apt to teach. As a matter of fact, under his own admission, he told me he could not study the Word of God and prepare a message. So he stole other men's messages of what he did. And he would teach those. So he wasn't apt to teach. He wasn't skilled at the Word of God. Matter of fact, I remember because I'll be honest with you guys, it was almost every Sunday. I mean, if I missed one, I don't remember it. But every Sunday after the service, I would be in his office talking about how he had mishandled the Word of God. I'd be like, you know, the passage that you chose this morning to share with us, that's not what it's talking about. Right? For example, he took the message from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And you know what he taught off of that? Tithing. You're supposed to give to the church. I'm not quite sure how he got there. And I talked to him about that. Now, I will be honest, a lot of the things that he shared, the principles and the ideas of what he shared were biblical. He just didn't have the text for it. He didn't know the Word of God. He wasn't apt to teach. Now, we see those men who are called to be pastors are not only called to be able to teach, but to act, if you would, with a love and a care for the sheep. I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself. No. Matter of fact, what they're called to have, if I can put it to you this way, is a natural affection. That's what they're called to have, a natural affection for the church. This idea is so important that the Lord, in some of his last instructions that he gave to his apostle, gave us this idea. Turn with me to that passage in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. You'll be familiar with this. It's talked about a lot. But John chapter 21, when you get there, begin at verse 14 with me, if you would. And we're not going to take this entirety of it. We're going to take verses 14 through 17. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time focusing too much on this. But I want you to see the Lord gave us this instructions here. And these are the final instructions, if you would, before his ascension into heaven to his disciples. And this is what he says. John chapter 21, verses 14 through 17. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, you knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, many times when we read this passage, what we end up reading in this passage is we end up reading the idea of the love. Do you love the Lord? And that's important. And that's a beautiful part of this passage. But there's something that's oftentimes ignored. And I'm being honest with you, this passage is so important to me because this is one of, like I said, when I got saved, I started reading the Word of God. And when I came to this passage, I got an answer to a question I've been asking myself. Lord, you've done so much for me, what can I do for you? And it's answered right here in this text. And read, listen to what he says there. After he asked him, do you love me? Did you notice what he said to do? In verse, if you would, in verse 15, he says what? He says, feed my lambs. And then again, he says in verse 16, feed my sheep. And again in verse 17, feed my sheep. You want to know what you can do for the Lord? You love the Lord. He's done so much for you. There's your answer. It's right there. But here's what, well, honestly, we miss. There are two different words being used here for the words feed. There's two different words being used for the word feed here. The Bosco, the first one we run into, is to pasture. That simply means what? To feed them, right? That's what you do with the sheep. You take them out to pasture so they can eat. What are we doing here this morning? We're taking you to the Word of God so that you can be fed. That's what we're doing. So if you would, this is the Bosco this morning. But there's a second word, feed, used in the second phrase there, the pomainio, which simply means to tend at the shepherd. In other words, what? Take care of. See, if you love the Lord, he's telling Peter and the disciples, if you love me, this is what you're going to do. You're going to feed them, and you're going to take care of them. See, a lot of men do a good job at one of those two. And none of us are perfect. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sitting here saying I do a great job at both, okay? But the truth of the matter is a lot of men do a good job at one of those two. They're very good at teaching. They got the Word of God down, but they have no heart to take care of people. Matter of fact, what they end up doing is getting disgusted when the people aren't being fed and eating the way they should be eating. They get all mad. What's the matter with you? I got the food right there in front of you. It reminds me of my dog, right? The way that sometimes I get frustrated with my dog. I got food there for you. He turned his nose up at wife because this wasn't the food he was expecting. He wanted something a little tastier than that. All right, I mean, one of the difficulties we've had is Joel and Janine have been so kind to give us food twice in the life of our dog, and they buy good food. We don't. All right, we buy the cheapest food, Paul. I figure, hey, if I'm not eating steaks every day, neither are you, okay? So we buy the cheapest dog food possible, right? The big, huge bag at Costco that you have to get a semi to take home. And so we buy that food for our dog. Well, they buy good food for their dogs, and the couple times they've actually given us some food from their dogs, we feed it to our dog, and by the time he gets done eating the good food, when we get him back to our food, he just looks at us like, whatever. So about the third day of not eating, he finally gets hungry enough that he'll finally eat. But here's the truth. A lot of times, men of God will do the same thing with the Word of God. They'll force it on you and be like, why aren't you eating it? Why are you turning your nose up at this? They don't care about you. It's almost like they want to just force your face into the bowl. Well, what they don't understand is that just like if I had to force my dog's face into the bowl, he couldn't eat, could he? Unless he takes it in himself. And he may take it at a different rate than what I want him to take it at. Honestly, my dog usually takes that food too fast. But sometimes we need to eat slow. Sometimes one little bite is enough for me to chew on for a while, right? Remember that? We learned that as kids. Chew your food like 5,000 times before you swallow. Right? Chew your food. Don't just swallow. My dad used to always tell me, did you even taste it? Why would I need to taste it? Right? I knew what it was. Okay? But the truth of the matter is not oftentimes men of God will get that way at the Word of God. They'll be like, you need to eat this right now. And they'll keep shoving it down your throat until they feel like you've taken it in. Now, what does that end up doing to us It makes us not want to eat at all, doesn't it? But just like that, and there he says to care, to tend to the shepherd for the sheep. Now, can you imagine if all we ever did is sit there and coddled each other? You know, every time that it was difficult, we never gave you the hard challenges in life. We never taught you the difficult things. If all we did was tell you to fluff and stuff at the church. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. There are a lot of churches out there. And if that's what you want the fluff and stuff, you know, the stuff that just makes you feel good and you go away feeling so good about yourself. And aren't I amazing? Aren't I great? You want that? You can find a church that's going to do that for you. I'm going to be honest with you. But here's the problem. All they're doing is tending to you. And you know what happens? If I sat there, I mean, can you imagine if you never forced a child or never introduced a child to solid food? Wouldn't be long before they died. They'd be so unhealthy. They'd be emaciated and they'd look horrible. So just as dangerous as that. And the Lord in his instructions to the disciple at the end of his life said these two things to them. They said, feed my sheep. What? Give them the word. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm going to tell you what he's kind of saying here. He's saying what? Give them my word. Teach them the word and take care of them. It's not an end or thing. It's both. So if you don't have the heart to do both of those things, if you run into a man who doesn't do both of those things, I'm going to be brutally honest here right now with you. He's not called to be a pastor. He's not. Because if he can't take care of the sheep and feed the sheep, then he's disqualified according to the scriptures. And that's what it says. Turn back with me to our text now in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Paul goes on and says an amazing thing about Timothy. He says these words. He says in Philippians chapter 2, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Who will naturally care for your state. First of all, he says, he's like-minded with Paul, the one who so loved the Lord's people that he said of his brethren in Israel that he had such great heaviness that if he could be accursed from Christ for his brethren, he would do so. Now, I honestly believe Paul said that because Paul knew he couldn't. But the truth of the matter is this, talk about somebody who cares for people, right? I got to be honest with you guys. It would take me a lot to voice those words speaking about any one of you. I mean, it would take truly a moving of the Holy Spirit for me to say, I would be willing to give up heaven for you. That'd be a really tough statement to say. That's some natural affection right there. He so cared for those people. And he says in our passage that Timothy was like-minded. If you would, the same way his Savior was like-minded. What did his Savior do? His Savior gave up his life so that one, even just one, might be saved. That's a great heart. But he says, who will naturally care for your state. In other words, natural meaning being genuine as well. See, that's what natural is all about. It's a genuine thing. It's not something that we manufacture over time. It's not something that we can muster up and pretend. Eventually, the genuine article comes to the truth, doesn't it? When you buy a knockoff, you know it's a knockoff after a while, don't you? Let's just be honest. I don't care. I mean, maybe we've all been guilty of buying something that was supposed to be just like, and it wasn't. Okay? I mean, it's like, you know, restaurant coffee versus real coffee. It's the knockoff stuff. All right? But the truth of the matter is that over time, the natural, the genuine article will come forward. Is this person real? Is this really how they feel about me? And this is what he's saying about Timothy, and this is what he's saying about the heart of a pastor. If I can put it this way, this man should have a genuine care for the flock. He should have a genuine care for the people. Not just a care for those who make his life easy, not just a care for those who tell him how great he looks, but a care for those who are also difficult. A care for those who are also struggling. A care for those who they have to invest a lot more in. And I'll be honest with you, some of you are healthy sheep and you don't need much investment, but some people are unhealthy sheep and they need a lot of investment. And that's not a big deal. Because if a genuine heart wants to do that, and likewise with each other. If you genuinely love each other, you're going to care for each other and you're not going to worry about investing in each other. You're not going to go, well, I would do that, but man, my favorite TV show is about to come on. I got to do something different right now. So-and-so called me up and they're having a hard time. They want to talk. Or how about this? You know what the worst part about caller ID is? We get to ignore the phone calls now, don't we? I'm not lying to you guys. I'm just as guilty. Now, I will be honest with you. Oftentimes when you call me, it's because I'm with somebody else. So I will ignore you when I'm with somebody else. But if I'm not with somebody else, I do my best to make sure I answer the phone. But that's the worst part about it. I remember when I was a kid growing up, the phone rang. You didn't know who was on the other until you picked it up, right? And then your parents would say, tell them I'm in the bath. Tell them I'm outside. And you'd have to lie for your parents. My dad tried doing that to us the other day in my own home, actually. Because his phone was ringing. He's like, just tell him I'm taking a nap. I'm like, but you're sitting right here at the table. Tell him I'm taking a nap, then we're not going to answer the phone. I'm not answering it. Let it go to your voicemail or whatever the heck it is. Why? Because I'm not going to lie for you. You're not taking a nap. So those are your friends calling you, not mine. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe they are my friends too, but anyway. See, Timothy had a genuine love for the people of God. And as such, Paul had confidence that he would do what was right for the sheep, both in taking them to pasture and also tending to their needs. That's what Paul says. I have what? That he says, I know I can send Timothy to you. And it will be a comfort, he said in verse 19, when I know your state. Why? Because Timothy's there. I know Timothy will teach you the truth, and he's going to tend to you as well. You guys remember we talked not long ago about the illustration of the rod and the staff, right? The rod to correct, the staff to pull close. It's both. It's the same idea. The rod to teach, if I can put it to you that way, the staff to care for. Paul compares this idea to those we find now in verse 21, though. A man who would naturally care and tend to the sheep versus these. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. What an amazing verse. I'm sure we've all met people like this before. The word seek here can be translated to worship. Did you understand that? Now let's read that again, if you would, and allow me to interject the word worship in there. For all worship their own. See, there are men, there are people, even in the church, that only worship themselves. If people were only as smart as me, if people only loved God as much as I do, if people only understood how wonderful I was. There are people who worship themselves. And you'll run into pastors who will worship themselves. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of those pastors will grow huge ministries. I remember one time when I worked at First Security Bank years and years ago, that there was a nice LDS lady who used to work next to me, and she was always proselytizing with us, and it was great because we got to have some great conversations, obviously. But as it set up, this is when I was still a teller. In our teller stations, there was the LDS lady here, there was me, and then next to me was a Roman Catholic. It was a pretty interesting place to work, I won't lie. We had some great times. Maybe not some great times, too. But I remember one morning, the LDS lady came in, and she was so beaming with confidence. She walked in, and she's like this. And she goes, I got thinking last night. And I realized something, that Mormonism must be true. Really, why is that? Because there's so many of them. I mean, it's growing. It's so big. Now, after I got done laughing, I won't lie, I did laugh, I was rude. After I got done laughing, and so did the Roman Catholic lady next to me, I said, you do realize that the Nation of Islam is larger than Mormonism. So it must be true. You do realize that Catholicism is larger than Mormonism, so it must be true. You do realize that humanism is larger than Mormonism, so it must be true. And I remember the look on her face of like, oh, I thought I finally had something. But see, here's the truth of the matter is, the Christian church gets just as stupid with that idea, don't they? Because the church is huge, it's a mega church, that guy must be teaching truth. See, we just don't ever look at it through clear eyes. Men who do not naturally care for the sheep. Men who worship themselves rather than Jesus. Turn with me now to John chapter 10. Let's talk about the heart of a shepherd. John chapter 10. You'll be familiar with this passage as well. But John chapter 10, pick it up at verse 11 when you get there. John chapter 10, verse 11. Let's listen to the words that our Lord had to say. John chapter 10, verse 11. And reading through verse 15, he says these words to us. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You'll notice there in verse 13 it says what? What was the problem with the hireling? The hireling's problem was that he didn't care for the sheep. He just wanted the job. He just wanted to be the man who was standing in front of the sheep. He just wanted to be the man that everybody said, look, there's the shepherd. He didn't care for them. That was why the hireling fled. And it says there, he had no concern for the sheep. Remember what we've been studying over the last little bit in Philippians. We're supposed to what? Esteem others better than ourselves. Meaning what? We should care for others more than we care for ourselves. Are you lifting other people up more than you're lifting yourself up? Or are you seeking your own? If I care, and this is what it says there, and I want you to notice something there. I run into this passage. Notice what happens here to this hireling, right? It says what? That the hireling, that not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not owned, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf, try that in English, wolf. I'm thinking back to my early days as a child. All right, that's the sound they make. I read it in a book. Anyway, they see the wolf coming and leave the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and then scatters the sheep. So you want to know one of the reasons why as a shepherd avoid sin in my life as much as I possibly can? It's because I don't want to, one, get caught. I don't, not by you guys, I'm talking about by the devil, right? I don't want to get stumbled up by him. I don't want to get caught. I don't want to get caught by you guys either, okay? But you know, I don't want to have sin in my life. I don't want to get caught. Why? Because if he catches me, then what's going to happen? He's going to scatter the sheep. That first ministry that I shared with you guys that I used to be involved with here, the man got caught. See, he had some sin issues in his life that he wasn't dealing with. And the man got caught, and it came out very publicly. And I remember when I got the phone call about it, my first response was not, oh, poor him, or poor, I thought about the family, okay? But you know what my first thought was? Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry about what this is going to do to your name. That was my first concern. Because I knew what was going to happen is that man had fallen. He'd gotten caught, if I could put it that way. The wolf had caught him. And now what was going to happen? The sheep were going to scatter. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, the ministry still exists today. That man's not over it. The ministry still exists today. But the truth of the matter is this, is that many of the sheep who were there have fallen away. Many of them even from the faith because of that moment. Now, I'll be honest with you guys. I hope that I never have a moral failing in such a place or a public failing in such a way that it would scatter the sheep. But the truth be known, I want to give you this warning. Don't build your faith upon the man who's standing behind this pulpit, be it me or any other man. Because if your faith is built upon whoever's standing here, when that person fails or dies or leaves or whatever the case may be, you're going to scatter. You're going to have nothing to stand on because we're just men. Now, I hope we're faithful men. But do they care for the sheep? I've got to share, and I think I've shared this with you guys before. One night I got a call in the middle of the night from a youth who was downtown in Pocatello, who had been drinking and then got caught by the cops and stuff. Didn't have a parent to come pick them up. But the cops said that they would release him to somebody, like an adult in their life, a respected adult in their life, and they called me up. I was the youth leader of that person at the time. And I remember the way the question was phrased to me, and it was in the middle of the night, I was asleep when I woke up, I said no. I didn't go. Now, the Lord so convicted my heart, I immediately tried to call back. After I woke up and realized what happened, I tried calling back. I'm on my way, but there was no answer. The damage had already been done. I avoided my duties, if I can put it to you that way. But you also have a duty to each other in the same manner. Did you know that? I mean, in all honesty, what does it take to answer the phone and pray with somebody? I mean, even if you can't go to their side and be with them, what does it take just to answer the call and pray with them? Send them a note of encouragement, a text of encouragement. What does it take? Remember, Paul says, Timothy, the man that was called to be a pastor, he was like-minded as Paul, who is like-minded with the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Let's look at what the mind here, from Timothy's mind, looks like, what Paul instructed Timothy about his mind. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. We read these words. It says, the Apostle Paul writing out to his son Timothy, he says these words. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Did you see the instructions there? I hope you did. There's two different instructions that Paul really gives to Timothy there, and I'm going to break them down for you if you would. Verse 2, he says what? Preach the word, be instant and in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What does that mean? Teach. Teach them, Timothy. Teach them. But then he goes on from that point, so we get the idea of teaching there, if you would. And then he says this in verse 5, but watch thou in all things. What does that mean? It means to care for. Now I want to get personal for a moment here. Whether you have children or not, whether you're single, whether you're a married couple, I want you to understand something. God has called you in your home. He has called you in your home. And just as a shepherd's heart's supposed to teach and to care, so is yours. In your own home, if you're not teaching them and caring for them, don't just do one or the other, but do both. But do both. Teach and care in your home. And because that's your ministry that God has given you in the very least. That's your responsibility in the very least. And if you're a single individual, then you have the greatest of all shepherds sitting over you. So get taught and get cared for. Remember, Paul taught us about those men who had worshiped themselves. They existed then and they exist today. In the interest of time, but if we were just to turn back to Philippians again, remember in chapter 1 we ran into them, didn't we? Some indeed preach Christ of envy, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preached Christ out of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. See, these men who had preached for selfish gain have their rewards already. But this is not the heart of a pastor or an under-shepherd, if you would. We preach not for ourselves. We should not preach for ourselves. You should, in your home, not be preaching for selfish gain so that your family can lift you up with something amazing. You should be preaching. Why? Because you're trying to glorify God. Turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We read these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Continue on. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid up to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I hope you saw there the heart of a pastor in Paul. This is what he was all about. And you see it in particular, if you would, looking now at verse 2 with me, if you would. And you'll notice these words. He says that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. What does that mean? Teaching. but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Commending, meaning to, if you would, stand together and care for. See, Paul understood that heart. So, we've seen that now. Turn back to our text, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. Let's continue on now. And let's see how Paul's heart of the shepherd comes out now in our text this morning. Philippians chapter 2, picking up at verses 25 through 30. He says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and that he ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful." I want to pause there for a second. Do you see what just happened? Paul understood that they had a need. Epaphroditus had a need to get back to his fellowship, his family, his church. And the church had a need to see Epaphroditus so they could be encouraged and be comforted. And Paul, rather than saying, even though Epaphroditus is a fellow servant and a fellow soldier and he stands here with me and he's a confidence to me and he helps me out, more needful for me is that you should be comforted. So he sent Epaphroditus to them. More needful for me is that I wouldn't have sorrow upon sorrow. More needful for me is that I should have less sorrow in knowing that you can rejoice in having him in your presence. And then he goes on from that point and he says these words to us. "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." We see here the heart of a pastor in Paul, that he cared more about the sheep than he did himself. Would it have been a blessing to him to keep Epaphroditus and Timothy with him? Absolutely. But more needful was him, more needful was that he would send men who would teach them and care for them. More needful than for himself. He loved them so. To close, a couple thoughts here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Listen to these words. "Little children, at the last time, as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us, not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Okay, having said that, I want you to understand that first ministry I mentioned, and to this day, that same ministry across the nation has this saying. They call it the blessed subtraction. You know what that means? It means they consider it a blessing when a difficult sheep leaves. When somebody who's hard to get along with and struggle with and that you have to debate with or you have to have these intense conversations with or whatever the case may be, they consider it a blessing when that person leaves. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have been blessed by the absence of some people in the body. But I've never considered a blessing. What I mean by that is this. I would have much rather we would know to reconcile and had our differences made and we could all come into the unction of the Holy Spirit and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and be brought into unity than to have to go our separate ways. It's never a blessing. It doesn't mean that it doesn't help the body sometimes. And that's the Lord's to take care of. But I never want to sit there and think to myself when somebody's missing, "Oh, I'm so glad they're not here. Whoo, isn't life better without them?" I never have thought that about anybody in my entire life that I can think of. Even the ones that are difficult, I love them too. I wish that we could get that reconciliation. I wish we could get back together. I wish we could be together and unified under our Lord, the Lord's banner. But the truth of the matter is some refuse to, and that's okay. But I'd rather have them sitting here, even give me scowls and dirty glares and mad at me, or looking for what I'm going to say wrong so they can come into my office later on and tell me how bad I am, than to go, "Oh, it's a blessing. It's a blessed subtraction. Goodbye." Doesn't that sound like something that the devil would say? I mean, in all honesty. I don't know if you understand that not all will stay. I get that. Because not all are of us. And I understand that. but I don't consider it a blessing when they leave. Matter of fact, many who have left, many have come back, but many who have left, I call them. Why aren't you here? What's going on? You know, usually I get a good lie. Oh, well, we've just been busy for 3 years. I'm kidding. But, you know, but the truth of the matter is, you know, I don't get upset about it. But I want them to know that I love them and I care about them. I don't ignore them when I see in the community. If you don't want to fellowship with us, I get that. That's fine. There's some I don't understand. There's some who say they don't want to fellowship with us because we don't do worship music on the stage. All right. I know that's going to sound weird, but I consider that a protection from the Lord. I know it really does, because I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the ministry that I've been involved with, it becomes about this and not about this. I want it to be about this. I don't want a 15-minute sermonette and a 45 minutes of singing. I want to be fed and cared for. And the truth of the matter is that good feeding is the greatest care we can give anybody, isn't it? I mean, let's just be honest. Good feeding is the greatest care we can give anyone. Back in you're still in our text. Look at verse 30 with me, though, and I want to close with this thought. It says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Here's another heart that we see in Epaphroditus. That he was nigh unto death, but he didn't give up on what Christ had called him to do. Paul, when heading to Jerusalem, shared these parting words with the church leaders. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to close with this passage this morning, guys. Acts chapter 20. Paul, on his way to Jerusalem, to be handed over, if you would, we know, to the Romans. Paul had these words for some of the church leaders as they stopped. Paul, or Acts chapter 20, pick it up at verse 22, and we'll just read through verse 36 together. Acts 20, verse 22 through 36. Says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, seeking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Watch therefore and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and that them that were with me. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.